Ladies and gentlemen, we are now into the Monday afternoon show territory, and we're just going to launch right into our guests who are waiting for me, eagerly anticipating, or at least just waiting for me, and I was late, and here they were early. So guests, my dear friends, welcome to the show. It's not Michael O'Brien, because Michael O'Brien is 70-something years old. Is that correct?
Correct.
And here we have Rob O'Brien. Are your headphones working?
Yes, Karen.
Okay, your mic's working. And Rob O'Brien, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Robert.
There you go. Robert O'Brien and Garrett Roach.
Right here, ready and raring to go. We are making the impossible happen today.
So what's impossible?
The impossible is possible. We made this trip happen for 2 weeks, coming to Hudson. it looked like it was never going to happen.
How'd you do it?
Yeah, hard work. Hard work pays off. So I did a bit of spared up, and we made the impossible happen.
So who's with you?
My wife and 2 kids.
Okay.
My wife is Michelle. My 2 daughters is Princess and Diane O'Brien.
Princess and Diana. That's amazing.
Diane.
Princess okay, it's Diane. Not because you're a Princess Diana fan. It has nothing to do with Princess Diana. Although she was kind of cool.
She was
all right.
She was good.
As far as an English princess is concerned, I think we can give her.
No, I call her Princess after my mom, Michelle's mom. Their 2 names is called Kathleen. So I made it a bit fashionable. You know, I put Princess Kathleen.
There it goes, right there. Okay, got it. Wow. Well, welcome to the States. Wow, here you are, in Hudson, no less. So you're staying in Hudson?
I'm staying in St. Charles Hotel.
St. Charles Hotel. They used to have Guinness on tap down below. I used to get a Guinness and a burger down when they had the restaurant. You remember those days, Garrett?
No, I wasn't in Hudson then.
Oh, I used to go. That was back in 2001. Good stuff. And so you flew in. I'm assuming you flew.
Flew in, yeah, correct. To JFK.
JFK. And from County Kerry?
Shannon.
From Shannon.
Took me 2 hours from my home to the airport.
And you live in County Kerry.
I live in County Kerry.
So you went over to Shannon. How far from
maybe
your
2 hour
house?
Drive.
2 hour drive.
Not bad. Then it took us maybe 7 hours across the Atlantic.
How was the airfare? How did they how's the pricing on the airfare right
the
now?
The pricing that you paid for nothing when you're coming to the States. You pay for nothing at all. Everything is free. Soda, your dinner, your lunch, everything is free, but with other airlines, you have to pay for everything.
I was told that Air Norway has prices now $99 to Dublin, to Paris, and various other places in Europe. This is craziness. Is this really true? Do you know anything about it?
Yeah, but that's right, Juan. But like with Ryanair, sometimes you might get an offer for 1 hour from Ireland to UK. It could be €10. But you have to get it in an hour. But how many people didn't be on the internet in 1 hour? It starts to crash. So you don't get a chance.
Right.
If you're not fast, you're last. You're going nowhere.
Unbelievable. So you took Aer Lingus?
Aer Lingus.
Aer Lingus. Yes, Aer Lingus. I guess that's... I flew into Shannon and out of Shannon. Aer Lingus was the way to go.
But they're a pretty good airline because you've TVs, you've a lot of movies, and the kids can watch kids' movie, you can draw.
Yeah.
So with Ryanair, you've nothing, you're just blank.
You get some attitude. It's like they're going to charge you for the peanuts. You want peanuts? Okay.
But Aer Lingus, you pay for not, everything is absolutely free.
Was Ryanair doing like the overweight tax or something? There was a big controversial bit where he's like, hey, if you're overweight, certain weight, you know, we gotta charge.
Yeah, but everything backfired on him. All half his staff left.
Oh.
Half of them left. Half his pilots left. So he lost out on millions upon millions, all his flights, so he couldn't.
That's unbelievable. He was great when he came out, because when I went to Ireland in 2004, it was like he was all the rage. And it was the biggest deal ever, because it's like, wow, he can actually like make it affordable for people who otherwise can't really travel. But then he was pretty ruthless.
But any airline, they're only there for one thing only.
Yeah.
They're not there for me, you, Garrett. They're there to make money. Yeah. That's their job. They're going to try to beat Aer Lingus. Aer Lingus is going to try to beat them. All these airlines are trying to beat each other on prices. So if he can fly from Ireland to UK for €10, like, he must be making money somewhere.
He's making money.
Well said, Robert.
All right. So here he is.
They're cattle cars on wings. When I travel to and fro to Ireland and back,
yep.
I've been all around the world, never once on a plane. I take the Cunard ships, the Queen Mary II and Queen Elizabeth II.
Whoa.
They only Gary, talk in
you're
Southampton.
Old school, man.
I just want to say it. Garrett is old school.
Garrett's old school. Look. Garrett actually writes letters to people. He's got pen pals.
Pen pals. He was telling me a lot about them.
He's the man. He does it. Does it old school, and traditional letter writing group, something or other. What do you
letter
call it?
Letter Writers Alliance, or LWA for short. Kudos to Donovan and Kathy, the directors and founders of it.
Donovan, that's my son's name is Donovan.
It was her great. It was her great 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 grandfather's or grandmother's maiden name. Grandfather's name on no, her great 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 grandfather's name. That's what it was. Donovan. So they gave her that as the first name. Also about Cunard, they do not dock in Ireland. They still only dock in Southampton, England. So I'll take taxis, trains, and then the ferry to Ireland.
Okay.
And then the reverse on the way back.
At least they don't make you swim.
The train goes through Wales, too.
Yeah.
It's just way faster if you just get on a plane,
on the plane
for 7 hours and you're landing. Or even these, as Garrett, he have a lot of pin pal friends. It's just easier just go on Facebook, you have emails. You're trying to move with the time.
Just try to make it quick and snappy. Well, we're here at Community Radio. This is
more
actually
genuine the other way.
This is actually kind of old school. What we're doing right now, you're coming in, doing an interview, or going on the airwaves. Somebody's actually turning this on in their car, like driving by. Be careful that intersection up by the hospital, guys. It's really
even the style
bad.
Of the radio station.
You know, Route 66, they're riding up the road. They're like, what the heck are these guys talking about? And it's just like, you know, that's pretty old school. It's a thing of the past in the way. But, you know, we got some good listeners. They tuning in. And thank you for listening, folks. By the way, it's the Monday Afternoon Show. I'm here with Robert O'Brien from County Kerry, Ireland. Garrett Roach, and we are taking calls, requests, anything you want to contribute, 518-828-0290. Robert, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the States. Welcome to Hudson. Welcome to your wife and two kids as well. Garrett, thank you for lining this up. I think
that
we should play a song from DJ Curtin. You said he's a trolley man. No.
He's a trolley man. And he moved to Las Vegas.
And this is a song from Trilly.
Correct.
Called The Rose of Trilly.
Big international festival. Women come from all over the world.
What's the international festival?
The Rose of Trilly.
Oh, that's a festival? It's not just a song?
It's part of a song.
I didn't know that,
Kira.
Really.
No.
It's a big tourist attraction.
Educate me.
Every August.
No idea.
It comes from the United States, Dubai.
It's a tourist attraction.
Big time money festival.
Big bucks festival. Tourists from all over the world come to. And what is the point?
You get
besides making money for the people organizing.
You have 40 roses. They come from United States, Dubai, New Zealand, everyone from all over the world, all over Ireland.
They bring a rose.
They bring their rose back, and they stay in Ireland for maybe 3 weeks, and then they do singing, they do dancing, and then you have a line of judges, maybe 25 judges, and they. At the end of a 2-day festival, they said they'll pick you on the winner, and she get a brand new car, she get all this new silverware, she free diesel and free gas, you see her, for 1 year.
Maybe some health care.
Everything done for 1 year. She's the rose of.
And what is she judged on, the rose?
She's judged on her looks, her personality, she's judged on, they might do some dancing, some singing, but it's just.
Okay.
Robert's not talking about a flower here. He's talking about a woman who's endearingly titled The Rose of Tralee.
Right. I knew that's what the song was about, but I didn't put two and two together. This was this big international contest that happens every single year.
Yes, but this is where the song's written, The Rose of Tralee.
Every
so
August.
Obviously I wasn't listening to the lyrics. So I put lyrics here. Maybe I should read them and figure it out. Like, I thought it was just some lovely lady from Tralee, The Rose of Tralee. Like, come on.
It is a lovely lady,
but she might be from Dubai.
She could be from United States. She could be like.
I don't believe they've ever picked a member of the Irish traveling community, though. We're setting a precedent on here as well with Mr. O'Brien
and
his
we should talk about that. You are from
Hudson.
The traveling community, is
correct.
That correct?
But last year, there's women came from England, I mean. So they had a roads competition for travellers.
So there was a separate one.
But a traveller, a travelling girl won it. She was only 17. But they said they were going to bring her to Scotland and enter, you know, all community, all race. And it never happened. It just collapsed. But with this roads festival, for me, what I think personally, it's just who you are and what you are. If your dad's not have a big job, you're not getting in there, you know.
So is it a little bit annoying for you? Like, it's sort of like...
Yes, it's annoying. It's
same here.
It's just annoying. It's just who you are and what you are. If you don't if you don't have a big job, your dad's not a big, say, just for example, a big police officer.
Yeah.
You've no business there.
Right, right.
Because he'll ask you, what's your background? What do your dad do? What do your mom do?
Right.
And you can't see your mom is just walking down the street doing nothing, you know. It don't sound good. You get judged on your mom and dad. You get judged on your family. And it's just weird.
Oh, man. The judging of human beings in many forms. Like, we'll get back. Let's discuss that some more. Like, but for now, for the sake of conversation and whatnot, let's play the song, The Rose of Tralee. Let's just see what DJ Curtin.
Go for it.
There it is. Has to say about it right here. So we'll be right back with Robert O'Brien, Garrett Roach.
Was rising above the green mountain.
Sounds old school.
The sun was declining beneath the blue sea. As I strayed with my love through the pure crystal fountain that stands in the beautiful vale of Tralee. She was lovely and fair, like the rose in the summer. Yet it was not her beauty alone that won me. Oh no, was the truth in her eyes ever dawning that made me love Mary, the rose of Tralee. The cool shades of evening their mantle were spreading, and Mary, all smiling, stood listening to me. The moon through the when I won the heart of the Rose of Tralee, she was lovely and fair as the rose in summer. Yet it was not her beauty alone that won me. Oh no, it was the truth in her eyes ever dawning that made me love Mary, the Rose of Tralee.
DJ Curtin from Las Vegas breaking it down. Wasn't quite what I thought. When you said DJ Curtin from Las Vegas, I thought, oh my goodness gracious. But there you have it. The Rose of Tralee, Robert O'Brien.
Great song.
Great song. Thank you. Garrett, again, welcome back to the show. Here we are. It's the Monday afternoon show. Again, folks, 518-828-0290. You're welcome to weigh on in. Robert O'Brien came all the way from County Kerry. He hopped Don of Aer Lingus from Shannon just to be here on the Monday afternoon show. That's the only reason he's here in Hudson right now. Okay, maybe not, but but you are staying here at the St. Charles in Hudson, and welcome.
Thanks so much, Ken. And Hudson's a nice area. It's nice.
Yeah,
but we were in New York City yesterday, but it's completely different compared to the New York City.
Yeah,
compared to Hudson, it's two different places. Like New York, it's all about money. Like we walk in the streets, me and Garrett, and they'll ask you a free CD. Okay, we'll take the free CD, and then they want a tip. You know, but with Hudson, there's none of this. It's just you're free to walk the street. You can go where you want to go, but New York City, it's not for me. I wouldn't be.
It's pretty wild down there, man. It's like go, 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 go. Like a lot of craziness, a lot of people, a lot of traffic, a lot of attitude.
Yes, correct. Understood. It's just too much.
Yeah.
But people might like that. But for me, I'd like to be walk free and where I want to go. But New York City is like every second there's someone on top of you. It's just not right. For me, I think it's not right, Anna.
So you're liking Hudson, though, a little better?
I like Hudson because it's quiet. I can walk where I want to walk.
How old are the kids?
My princess is 3 and Diane is 1.5.
Okay, so you got the little ones. They need, like, some freedom of movement and quiet.
But
and
it's not even freedom, but it's just for safety.
Safety.
It's just nice because in New York, everyone is on top of you. And you could lose a kid like that in 1 second. So with Hudson...
Someone might grab that thing and sell it. Sell it somewhere for.
But with Hudson, your eyes is everywhere. You don't have to worry. The park, for example. You can even run around the park.
The fountain has maximum security, double gated wrought iron picket fences around it, so you don't get into the fountain area where there might be some water.
Yeah.
I always talk about that here on the show. We're wondering. There's several conflicting stories about what happened, about why there's high security around there, but who knows why.
Why?
Oh, really?
Well, they say it's because somebody put, ready for this, washing detergent into the fountain system. Like tons of it, like 5 gallons. And it filled the entire park with bubbles.
Jesus Christ.
And they were so upset that they built
I've never heard this until now.
Fence around it.
Bubbles. Was that necessary?
The cost of the fence versus the cost of cleaning up the bubbles. You don't have to clean up the bubbles because they evaporate.
Correct.
Unbelievable. I don't know. Well, anyways, I digress. So here you are in Hudson. You have a lovely little park here. Are the booths? The booths are up already, aren't they?
Yeah.
The shacks. You know, they upgraded the shacks. These little shacks used to be pretty run down and they were dilapidated, like there was like plywood falling apart and like some of the little things were broken in there and it was pretty brutal. And now they've fixed them up, things are operating. And have you seen the shacks?
Yeah, but we walked past a couple of them though. But there's one of them have stuff in it and 4 of them have nothing in them.
Oh, they're empty.
Like what, one or two have is it even Christmas, or are they just selling stuff out of them?
Oh, maybe the
Christmas decorations, but there's a couple
to
of
be
them
scenes
that had
in
nothing
there
in them.
With like mechanical snowmen like,
there were,
waving.
In some of them.
Yes, correct. But
yeah, little trains going around.
Yeah, and the rest of them have nothing at all.
Yeah, they're budget cuts this year, probably. Or maybe they're waiting. Maybe they're somewhere else. Maybe the elves are like still packing presents and they'll show up in the shacks and do stuff when it gets closer.
Maybe the 18th, 19th, 20th.
Okay, so I don't know. Well, at least there's something going on down there.
There's something going on.
So, Robert, tell me about the traveling community in County Kerry. So people don't really know about the travelers. What some folks would refer to your community or your, would you say, what you identify culturally with is some people call them gypsies, but that's also a derogatory term I've heard.
But see,
tell us the history of the travelers. Who are they?
You have gypsies, but gypsies is kind of different to a traveler.
Mm-hmm.
Well, gypsies mostly in Ireland. There's no gypsies. Well, just traveling community. But where the gypsies come in, they're mostly all UK. So what a gypsy is for me is, well, your mom is a settled person and your dad is from the travelling community. So then you form a gypsy. But they're like travelling, but they're not. But some of them are rich and, you know, they have jobs. But with the travelling community where I'm from, like you have a travelling community, so everyone knows everyone. And like we're our own community, you know. I do mix like with, you know, settled community. But where we come from, everyone knows everyone. So we're like we're on our own base community. But for me, they're like, people all over the world think travelers are bad. But for me, there's good and bad in everyone. Everyone in this world, there's good, bad, not so good. But people should get to know the traveling community before you go judging them. You can't judge a book by its cover.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to...
So, from what I've heard, bits and pieces, and Garrett has actually shared some of his experiences, is that there's somehow discrimination against these communities. And for a dumb American who comes to Ireland and sees two people standing next to each other, it's like, dude, they would have no idea there's any cultural difference between someone might have a little bit more money than the other person. But we're talking about real discrimination that goes way back. What is that all about?
It's just absolutely appalling. It's not on. For example, if I want to go, just for a set of bar with me and my wife, well, we'll have to try 20 bars before we get into one.
Really?
And that's only just for one pint.
But you're white.
I'm white. I'm. But I'm not.
So how do they know when you walk in? How do they know you're how do you get this? They just know. You got an accent?
Just we all talk kind of the same.
You talk different?
And, yeah. Like.
See,
like,
I wouldn't know that.
But see, Hudson talks the same. So I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Which I just don't know who's like you and Garrett. All you have the same kind of accent, yeah. You know. But as I said, for me and my wife, we want to go for a pint. If I want to go for a pint, but it's
and if she wants to come,
yeah, mostly she do come. But you have to try 20 bars before you get one pint. There's no you can have the whole night, you know.
Wow.
So if you have 5 pints tonight, it's a lot.
So why is that? Where does that come from? What's going on with that?
They're just not nice people. They're judging you on your culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like in Ireland, there's good and there's bad in everyone. I'm not saying the traveling community is good. I'm not saying anyone's good. Like, there is bad travellers. There is bad settled community. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
There is bad Americans. There's bad...
There's some bad Americans. There's one in the White House right now, but we won't talk about that.
Yeah, I understand, but...
He's just... There's some psychological stuff we have to look into, but we'll get back to that.
But...
You know, in everyone, like you said.
But it's just not nice. It's just proper racist. It's like... Like, I'm white... Not saying we're black, white, we're all the same. We're all human beings. We're all brothers and sisters down the line. God created people, you know. But so in Ireland, if you go into a bar, me and my wife, or even a restaurant, for example, maybe 5 months ago, Michelle's sisters went into a restaurant with her husband and her kid, and they refused food.
Whoa.
So what they did, they had a big protest. In Ireland, you know, St. Patrick's Day, the big festival.
Mm-hmm.
They had a big protest, and they got served food for 1 week, and they got barred again. Like, when you're getting stopped serving food, that's now. This is 2017. So wait till, for example, in 30 years' time, what's it going to be like?
Hmm.
We'll probably be slaves in 30 years' time. If they have their way. If they had a law right now in Ireland, I would be a slave. For example, I would...
So this goes way back. This goes deep.
This goes deep. Oh, this is going with hundreds of years. But with the times, though, it's not bad. Maybe 50 years ago. Because when my mom and dad was growing up, they had a horse and a wagon, or a horse and a car, or a donkey and a cow. So they had never had much. So they'd knock at doors and they'd look for food. They'd beg for food. And they'd get food. And everyone knew them, do you understand? And they had a camp on the side of the road. But when you have something, they don't want you. And if you've not, you don't want you. So for me, in 30 years' time, when Princess gets big, it's going to be absolutely appalling in Ireland.
Well, unless something changes.
But who's going to... No one's going to change it.
You don't see it coming.
We will.
But
Garrett, I'll send Garrett.
Because Ireland belongs to the traveler.
He's going to take the Queen Elizabeth... The big ship, he's going to come ferry down and he's going to be like, guys.
But there's no one in power for it. There's no one, like, you have no traveling doctors, you have no traveling, you have no one TDs or government.
So you guys are sort of an invisible community.
Correct. So
but at the same time, you're visible enough to be discriminated against.
Yes, thank you very much. But where's the change going to come from? It's not going to come.
Do you think, so you think things are getting worse? Is that because Ireland's going more and more towards the profit money-making model, such as the EU, the big corporations, allowing Google and all these big
but yes,
whatever?
Correct. They're there for money also. But if you have traveling community, you have money. If you work hard, they still don't want your money. An example, you're just not good in their eyes.
Right.
So for me, in 30 years' time, Ireland's going to be completely... It's going to be a disaster.
Okay, so Robert O'Brien here, he's thinking things are... He's talking slavery here. We want to get away from slavery. Here in the United States, we know a thing or two about that. But it was not good.
It's not nice for anyone.
Not good. We're trying to get away from it, too, and things are actually still challenging us.
Well, Garrett, you keep the positivity coming.
Garrett,
tell
brings
the White
in
House,
the, tell
everyone in power in Ireland around the world about the positivity, because that is their goal. Because they don't make their power off of people being happy and singing and dancing and enjoying life together. They make their power off of people being
miserable.
So,
Garrett, how do we
miserable?
Go in there, especially as Americans and whatnot, and we see a social situation like this, discrimination in other countries, how do we go in there, and how do you see this thing changing and shifting, Garrett? Like, what do you think we could do, or what do you think, how do you see in 30 years from now things could change?
People themselves coming together instead of waiting for someone in office to do something for them.
Mm-hmm.
But what? For example, what can we do? Like what? For example, I go back to Ireland right now, get my ear fly home. What can I do with me, Princess Diana, and my family? Like Michael D. Higgins, he's the one to look at us. He's the president of Ireland. So what can we do? What are we gonna do right now?
So it's you're,
well,
you're
we're doing
about,
something right now.
Oh, but this is could, happy times. But I'm on. We're going. Exactly. I'm going for my kids' future.
Well, something with the radio broadcast. I mean, as well.
But well, hey,
I mean, we could send
it's,
this.
It's something.
But like, what,
we can send this link around.
But I know, but it's
in the
it's,
broadcast
it's a staff,
archives.
But Garrett, come on.
So he's we're. I understand. There's two perspectives here, and like the idea is how to reverse discrimination and send it in the opposite direction into the consciousness shift, into the evolution, the proper evolution, and you know a lot of us thinking positively here. There's two ways to think about how this country is going. It's the same thing. It's like we moved away from slavery. We had the civil rights movement. We had Black people and people of all types try to get equal rights, and we're still working on it. And we feel like in 2017, like people can get same-sex marriage can happen. It's like you can't argue against it. But then there's another perspective that can come in, and this is sort of what I'm hearing where Robert's coming from, where it's like actually if you look at what's being represented in the leadership of the country, it's fascism, white supremacy, neo-Nazism, militarism, psychological pathology, sociopathology, in which it's so extreme that it's even worse than the idea of slavery. We're talking about nuclear annihilation potentially. And you could say in 30 years now, especially with the way the White House is going, and if that type of power grabs hold, like we're all done.
We're gone in it, so it wouldn't make a difference.
So,
no. But like any human being, they're entitled to freedom, they're entitled to speech, they're entitled to water, they're entitled, like, they should treat everyone the same.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make a difference who you are, what you are. You can't judge no one on what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But some people are just, they're just better than others, I suppose. But for me, an example, for 30 years' time, I'm looking out for my kids. If nothing amazing happens in 30 years, but it is possible. But you have to look out I want my future and my kids. I want a bright future for them.
Mm-hmm. So,
but where's the future going to come, Carrot? Where's it going to come from?
Mm.
Like, who's going to bring this? Who's going to bring in a law? No discrimination, no racism. Who's going to bring that in Ireland?
Well, I know. Good question. But whether or not there is a law, it should still be up to us, but because like, this goes centuries back. Ireland belongs to the traveler.
But
that
like,
land,
all right, for example, Garrett,
is there even pre-Celtic?
If I go into a bar,
people,
but, go back to Ireland right now. How can I change their mind if they tell me no? What can I say? You can either give out, and the police is called. You're going nowhere completely.
Right.
You can be a man, just turn your back and walk out.
Well, you can also
the
always
the protest route. You were talking about the protest that happened.
Yeah, but Kieran, it's good for 1 week.
Mm.
And they'll have another excuse next week again.
And then the next
week
is business as usual.
Correct. They want you for one day. If they have no one in the bar, they'll serve you for 20 minutes, a half an hour. How many pints do you drink in a half an hour? You know, it's that nice. And the nice to get up, and if you want to go out and the weekend was right, and the nice to get up, get ready, and go anywhere you want to go. Without saying, Michelle, we might be stopped here, Michelle. We won't go there, Michelle, because we're not going to get there. You'll pick a bad bar. It's just ran down. It's a shack. As you said, it's a shack. And you bad drink. And it's just, it's not nice.
Bad news.
Well, one thing you can do, Robert, is to, when you're confronted with that, is to bring up the history. You can say, this bar sits on my land.
Garrett, what good is to tell them history?
In a sense.
So what is the history, Garrett? You're talking a little bit of the history. You did a little bit of research. You're a little familiar with it. What's your interest in the matter here?
Right. I actually have some of this background myself in my ancestry. But Francie Barrett, who is a gold medal Olympic boxer, did some research himself. Irish traveler from County Galway, now residing in London, and boxed in the 1996 Atlanta Olympics. I brought him up in the past. He did some DNA research and such, and found that the Irish travelers go back 13,000 years or more in Ireland. And mm-hmm. they're a pre-Celtic people.
I got to play a soundtrack for this. Go on,
and
Garrett.
And speak an older language than Gaelic, which mm-hmm. Michael O'Brien, Robert's cousin, brought up several broadcasts back. He was the elderly gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. Robert is here with us right now. Also mentioned his 45 to 50 horses on a previous broadcast, just so everyone listening can be refreshed as to who he is from previous broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
He's like my brother, and he and his family are the best people going, in my opinion.
But it should be just normal, shouldn't it, Carol?
By far, it most certainly should be, Robert.
It should be just normal for everyone. Who are you? Are what you are? Where you're from? I don't care what race you are, color you are. Everyone should have the same rights. Correct?
Well, there's something else ticking in some other people that says otherwise.
Yeah, but...
But correct.
Hold on one second. Sorry, guys. We're
going to
try to get Dave on here.
Oh,
yep.
That'll
oh,
work.
David Lynch is calling
in. So, yeah... We just took that one out of, oh boy. Sorry, guys. Here we are. So, sorry, guys. I missed out on that. We're going to try to bring Dave up. And, Dave left us. Dave, give us a call back if,
We're sorry. You called the dead
group. See, there you go. See, this is what happens on community radio. You got the Pogues?
We're sorry.
Yeah, Dave.
Thank you.
Give us a buzz. So Dave Winter was calling in. He's got some information on the boxer you were referring to, and I missed a little bit of the last bit of your conversation. What did I miss out on? And where are we going with all this?
But we were telling Garrett, people have to look up, and say everyone's the same. Everyone's entitled to the same everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I work 7 days a week, as any other man works 7 days a week. If I'm entitled to go for my dinner with my family, I should be entitled to go for dinner. I should be entitled to do anything with my family. But in Ireland, you're not this. You're no good.
Hmm.
You're just garbage, basically. So in 30 years' time, if nothing happened dramatically in 30 years' time, but I think there's going to be some conflict. But in 30 years' time, when my kids are my age, there'll be big changes.
Changes. We like the sound, like changes, like David Bowie.
If you don't have a legacy built for your kids by the time they're 30, they're going over in life. So you have to look out for your kids. You have to look out for yourself. But as I said numerous times, in 30 years' time in Ireland... Man, it's going to be a big change. I'm only 23, and I've seen a lot.
Even in modern times, there's still much of a Dickensian feel in Ireland. And by the way, William Shakespeare, in one of his plays, I'm unaware of which one, but he mentioned, referred to the Irish travelers as the roving Irish in one of his plays.
All right, let's cut to a song and see if we can get a hold of Dave. I think he wants to weigh in on the conversation.
No problem.
All right.
Go for it, David.
We want you all to join in and have the crack with this one. Because the song tells a story of the great resilient Irish people. You see, and the story is called You'll Never Beat the Irish! Come on, everybody! '67, they came to Ireland on the mate. They were followed by invasions, by conquests in the wake. The kings and queens of England made around the battleground. They helped the land by far defeat, poison, murder and deceit. Father, thunder, vagabond, hid away, cheating, stealing, dilly and lay. Duck and diving, vagabond, hid away, dilly and low, the dilly and lay. And by the 15th century they held the courtesy to the pale. The invaders were more Irish than the Irish, that's the tale. But greedy king called Henry's dick was bigger than his brain. Forced the reformation, confiscating, usurpation.
And you'll never beat the Irish, no matter what you do. You could put us down. Duck and diving, vagabond, get away, dilly and low, the dilly and lay. Bottom, thunder, vagabond, get away, cheating, stealing, dilly and lay. Duck and diving, vagabond, get away, dilly and low, the dilly and lay.
Virgin Queen Elizabeth brought more turmoil to a land. She decimated monsters, scorched the earth and all at hand. James the First and Charles the Land brought other greedy bands. Took the land of Ulster, killed the chieftains, poisoned plunder.
Land of Fagamon, hid away, cheating, stealing, dilly and lay. Ducking, diving, Fagamon, hid away, dilly and low, the dilly and lay.
By fraud and affected titles, they cheated Connacht and the West. Lost the 17th century, from a war we had no rest. The curse of Cromwell paid the land to the towns for never blood. The battle of the Vine was fought, William James and Foreign Horde.
You'll never be the Irish, no matter what you do. Oh, you can put us down. But we'll come back again.
Come on!
You know we are the fighting Irish, and we fight until the end. You know you should have known. You'll never beat the Irish. Fuckamon, hit away, cheating, stealing, dilly at the day. Ducking, diving, fuckamon, hit away, dilly at the day.
That's the one. I don't know if Dave can hear us. Dave, are you with us? Dave, you with us?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm
right here. Wow. Should we let the wolf tones finish it off? Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Linter and Robert O'Brien from County Kerry, Tralee. Are you from Tralee? I don't know. Where are you from, Robert?
Correct, Tralee.
Okay, Dave Linter, can you hear us still?
Am I on here?
You're on the air. Tell us what you want to share with us.
Hi, guys in the studio. I just wanted people to know, because I know he's pretty modest about Robert. Robert is quite modest about his boxing abilities. This guy has won three Irish championships and one European championship.
So,
I mean, the guy's the real deal.
Thanks.
And I watched some footage of it, and it was really great. I mean, the guy's got was a really terrific boxer, and he won those tournaments. I knew he was. I didn't figure he'd mention him, but when he got a little bit into boxing, I was like, well, let me tell people at least that.
Thanks so much, Seth.
He's a new friend of mine, a friend of Garrett's, of course, and I just want to get my 2 cents in there.
Okay, so first of all, Robert, you did not say that you were even a boxer.
Yeah, I boxed for a lot of years.
Okay. Second of all, you didn't say that you won anything.
I won 3 Irish titles and 1 European championship.
That's big. That's really
big. Yeah, it's big, but now I have a new challenge in my life, my kids.
You have 2 kids.
So boxing is out the window.
Boxing hopefully prepared you for what's about to come.
It did a great job.
Yeah.
I love boxing, but I met Michelle and the whole lot changed and
there you go.
We fell in love.
I think in many ways the tenets and things you learn being a boxer really serve you, what can serve you well in your life as you move along.
Correct.
Dave, this is really important information that you're sharing with us, and I just was wondering, is there a boxing match happening in your kitchen right now in the background that we were picking up earlier?
No, it's my wife.
Oh, it's your wife. So it's the pregame warm-up.
Exactly.
Okay, good.
But, David, we heard Lucas, too.
Oh, you heard Lucas. Well, he's a ham.
Lasa also shits in this.
The who? What'd you call me?
He's
Who's Lucas, Dave?
Any chance he gets for a picture or to be recorded, the guy turns into Laurence Olivier. Very, very...
Very blue eyes.
We heard him loud and clear. He's David's dog, Lhasa Apso Shih Tzu Mix. Mm.
But not even me, Dave. But your Dave was telling me he was in Vietnam all the time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to hear his stories?
Mm-hmm.
If you think I'm awesome, about 3 Irish championship, 1 European. He's 10 times better.
Dave, you heard that? The compliment.
I did, and thank you, Robert.
It's just completely different to represent your country. And
I mean, my stories are, it's very hard for me to tell, certainly to, not to people I'm not really trusting and close to, but I had that relationship with Robert pretty quickly, and it was very easy to tell some stories, but... They're pretty gruesome, so.
You're some man. You're still standing.
Well, you're here with us, Dave, and thanks for calling in the show.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
All
thanks,
right.
Dave.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dave. Cheers, man.
Keep listening.
Thanks a trillion, David.
Bye, guys.
Bye now.
David Linter calling in from, I don't know, Garrett.
Right here on Warren Street.
I believe
Hudson,
it's
New York.
Warren Street, which is a stone's throw away. Right there, you can see it.
Yeah,
Warren Street.
I'm familiar with it.
So, thanks, Dave. And he brought to light the fact that, Robert, you won a bunch of stuff. Boxing. Did you get beat up, too? You had to beat some people up, but I'm sure getting to that point, you had to get beat up a little bit.
Yeah, when you get knocked down, you get back up. I got knocked a couple of times. I lost a couple of fights, but I got back up, and I did pretty awesome. I won 3 Irish titles in a row. That's pretty good for
Ireland.
That's
good stuff.
And I represented my country. But the way the country is gone now, you wouldn't want to represent them.
Yeah, now you're skeptical. So,
well said.
When you went to the European Cup, who did you have to fight against?
We boxed in Malaga, Spain. And we boxed against a Spanish team.
Gotcha.
But they were pretty good. They were good. They were fast. They were good. They could handle the heat well. So I could. It was tough, but I won.
You did. You won.
2 fights, 1 semi-final, 1
well,
fight.
Well, congratulations for that. So, Robert O'Brien, we can look you up and verify that fact, it sounds like. Nice job.
Thanks so much.
Who was the team? Was it the? Is it like a national team?
It's a national Irish team. We 12 boxers.
Let me ask you back to this question of the travelers and discrimination. So, like, you ran into some trouble going into pubs and restaurants, but they'll take you for the boxing team.
But they would cut. But see, I was dumb at the time. But now I'm wiser. I'm older. I'm wiser. But if it was now, I wouldn't represent my country.
Interesting.
No, I wouldn't represent him, honestly. I wouldn't represent him.
Yeah. I wonder if Dave feels the same way about Vietnam. I don't want to bring that up too much, but, you know, it's like, you know, you go in and you see the big shots up top profiteering off of your hard work and blood and sweat, when in reality they have their own agenda. That's a hard realization to wake up to, I'm sure.
Well, very hard, but Dave is a 20 times better man than I'll ever be, but even with the boxing, it's just, they want you for your boxing, but they don't want you socially.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand where I'm
coming
from?
They don't want you to talk. They don't want you to... Interesting. Well, Robert, this has been absolutely fascinating. We're just about coming up on the 5 o'clock hour. We got some news and PSAs and station identifications for you and some questionable Wolf Tone songs coming your way. Actually, we should break for that right now.
Yeah.
Let's just see. Luckily, I pulled up the lyrics. I'm going to see if I can edit it. I better be able to. I just drew attention to it. I wasn't going to do that. So, Garrett, thank you so much. Robert, thank you so
You're
much.
So welcome.
This has
thank
been
you so much for having both
awesome.
Of us. And like I just like to say I am in awe of this man. He is the brother I've never had. He looks up to me as an older brother, as well as he stated on a previous broadcast. 23 years old, a horse farm with 45 to 50 horses, 2 houses, 2 children, and boxing titles, and also 4 years of cooking school.
Wait, how many horses?
50.
Now wow. 50, yeah. 50.
I got 1 horse and 1 pony.
Yeah,
and the pony's about that big. She's a mini.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I have 50 B horses, but that's what I like do now. I wouldn't change it.
And 4 years of cooking school.
Yeah, I did a bit of 4 years of chicken school too, but we leave the cooking for another day.
All right.
Do you cook?
I cook sometimes. I'm okay. I cook for my
wife. I made a lamb stew, actually, the other night. Last night. And I brought some with me.
Good.
It's in a mason jar, and I already took a bunch of bites out of it, so I won't share it with you right now.
Yeah.
But it's got some chunks of fat in it, but good lamb from the neighbor.
Maybe another time.
Another time. All right. We'll go over recipes in a minute, but let's just... Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. No, sometimes it's like...
That's not the Wolf Tone.
This is not the Wolf Tone. We don't know who this is, actually. We don't know. There we go. This sounds like a live version. Yeah, I'm going to keep an eye on that. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go away. right, just getting a little bit rowdy with the Wolf Tones here on the Monday Afternoon Show. Ladies and gentlemen, 518-828-0290 is the number. Weigh in on the situation. We have a news flash update. We have a phone caller just for this news flash update from the phone caller. Tom is telling us President Trump is falling apart mentally and physically. He looked it up online. It's all there. Okay, Tom Skorimbas calling in on the Monday Afternoon Show. I want to say thank you, Tom, for the mental and physical update on the president. We'll see where that goes, because I don't know too many presidents mentally who were able to really be a human being in this country in the recent history. However, okay, that just went too far. We're going to say Garrett, Robert O'Brien, much appreciate your presence here on the Monday Afternoon Show. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You're ever really so welcome. It. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Any parting words and shout outs? Or I want to say shout out to Michelle and the girls, Princess and Diane.
Yeah, I want to say a shout out to my wife and my two lovely daughters. And if mom and dad listen at home, I love you. I'll see you when I'm home.
Oh, do you think they might be listening?
Maybe.
You never know.
Maybe. Hopefully I'll be getting as lucky as he one of these days.
Me, I love him. Peace out. I'll see you when I'm home.
And also, you know, sometimes, like the song we just heard, sometimes when people's positivity in their land are challenged, you do need to react to it with being realistic.
Absolutely. You know?
But react in a normal environment way, don't react.
Exactly.
You have different reactions. React normally and you might get somewhere.
There exactly.
You but if you react the wrong way, you're going nowhere in life. You're going down the wrong road. But if you react the right way, think right, you will get places. But otherwise, don't react at all.
Good words of wisdom coming from Robert O'Brien right
and,
there.
Yes, and we know about the British colonization over the centuries, but the mistreatment that the Irish traveling people, known as tinkers in the old days, highly skilled tinsmiths, horse traders, goes way back, even before the British Empire was ever formed, and before the Vatican as well.
Yep, we're talking about 800 years of madness.
Correct. And there's going to be another 800.
Yeah, they say, you know, Ireland is England's first colony and probably will be England's last colony. That is Finbar Fury. Is that what we're pulling up right now?
Correct.
We're coming up right on the 5 o'clock hour. So let's part with a song. Robert, you want to just tell us just a thing or two about this song and what this means?
This song is dedicated to Garrett's mom, Maggie Roach.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Maggie was a great inspiration to me. She was good. She was a lovely woman. And we visited her grave just last week. But before we go home, we're going again tomorrow. So we must get some flowers and we must get a bottle. In Ireland, we have a tradition. I never told no one this. But we'll get a bottle of whiskey and me and Garrett will have one shot each and we'll throw the rest on Maggie's grave.
Ah.
And we'll leave the bottle there and she get a drink also.
There you go.
So she was a pretty awesome woman.
Mm-hmm.
And this song is for her.
Okay.
I am just beaming right now, as I know she is, and I cannot thank you enough, more than words in any language can say, brother.
Thank you, Garrett.
Thanks all a trillion,
Garrett.
Robert.
This is going out to your ma. This is the Galway Shawl. We'll be right back. Thanks again, guys.
Yeah. Much more than welcome, Kieran.
She wore no jewels.
Come on.
No costly diamonds. No paint, no powder. None at all. But she wore a bonnet with a ribbon on it, and around her shoulders the Galway shawl. She sat me down there beside the fire. I could see her father. He was 6 feet tall, and her mother soon had the kettle boiling. But all I could think
about was the Galway song. I played the blackbird, the stag of Arney.
You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
Each note like an Irish linnet, as the tears they fell from our eyes so blue. Here we go. She wore no jewels, no costly diamonds, no paint, no powder, no none at all. But she wore a bonnet with a ribbon on it, and around her shoulders the Galway shawl. It was early, early, all in the morning. I hate the road for sweet Donegal. I thanked her kindly, she smiled and kissed me, and my heart remained with the Galway shawl. As she wore no jewels, no costly diamonds, no paint, no powder, no none at all. But she wore a bonnet with a ribbon on it, and around her shoulders the Galway shawl, and around her shoulders the Galway shawl.
So, Christy.